It says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst of water, but of hearing the word of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from north even to the east. They shall run to and fro and seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it." Brother Pack's sermon on family devotions and Brother Horn's sermon on why we should preach prophecy, like I say, kind of led me in this direction, because we have seen a falling away of the family devotion in the nation in which we live and in the time in which we live. And I'm going to take that a little bit further than what Brother Horn did. We've seen a decline in preaching various topics, not so much because they're not needed, because, as he said, all of the Word of God is profitable.
Yes.
But because we're afraid to offend.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I believe if we're honest as God's pastors, I'm going to speak to us for a minute. Sometimes we're guilty of it.
Yeah.
Sometimes we fall into that trap of, "Well, I know the people don't like this, so I'm just going to kind of go around it a little bit. I might bring it up in passing, but I'm not going to make a big scene of being here." However, in light of Amos chapter 8, verse number 11, I want to go immediately as kind of a subtext to Matthew 5 and 6, where we see the other side of the coin. Matthew 5 and 6 says, "Blessed are they," and isn't it a blessing? "Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness."
Yes.
And it says, "For they shall be filled."
Okay.
While we may live in a time where the Word of God, and I made this point over at Glade Creek last Sunday when I preached this, the Word of God is prevalent. You can turn on YouTube, Facebook, the radio, the television, anywhere you want to look, you can find somebody preaching from the Word of God. At one point in time, you could get by with saying you may not find the truth, but in this time, day and age, you probably will not find the truth. Even within my lifetime, I've seen a major swing from sovereign salvation to dependent upon man.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, that's one thing that has led us into a famine. It's not so much a famine for lack of hearing the Word of God. It's a famine of hearing the truth of God's Word.
Amen. Amen.
As I said, you can turn on just about any source of media and find the Word of God. But you most likely, I'm afraid, will not find the truth unless you know where to look. A famine. A scarcity for food. You know, we don't have a lot of experience in our day and age with famine, a true famine. A want or destitution, and I'm just going to go ahead and cite my source here. I appreciate Webster's 1828 dictionary, because it immediately follows up and it says, "as a famine of the word of life." A drought or a thirst of water. Dryness in the land, a want of rain, a want of water. I'm going to add this, he didn't add it here, the want of the water of life, the words of God.
Mm-hmm.
A physical famine and drought causes people to do things. If you remember, I'm just going to cite a couple of these this morning because I actually want to get down into the meat of this message. In Genesis 12, there was a famine in the days of Abram. What did it cause him to do? He got up and relocated his family to a place where there was food. In Ruth chapter 1 and verse number 1, we find Elimelech and Ruth and Mahlon and Chilion left Bethlehem, Judah, and went into the country of Moab because there was food there. I want to submit to us this morning, we should be as dedicated, if not more so dedicated, to seeking out the Word of God than what we are making provision for the flesh. I agree with what Brother Pat said, and again, we might be the only two. I don't think we are. I hope we're not the only two. It bothers me when people can make time to do everything they want to do and go anywhere they want to go, and then when the Lord's Day rolls around, it's all of a sudden, "You know, we're just too tired to come to church." Or, Our vacation's running over into Sunday. I hope you understand. There's something we need to bring out right here, and this is kind of where I take off a little bit. It says in Psalm 106, verse 15. Let's go there. While we're turning there, I want to kind of introduce this point a little bit. If you remember, the nation of Israel, in their journeys from Egypt, for example, had a problem with the same thing we struggle with a lot. Murmuring. Mm-hmm. Complaining. Mm-hmm. At one point in time, they actually came to Moses. And you know what murmuring and complaining actually is? It's a lack of thankfulness. We take for granted what we have, and we say, you know what, I want something else. Mm-hmm. Or something more, or something different. The children of Israel, at one point during their journeys, told Moses, our soul loathes this white bread. Talking about the manna. You remember what the manna was? I'll read the verse here in just a few minutes. Manna was bread from heaven.
Yeah.
It was God providing bread for His people. Psalm 106, verse 15 tells us God's reply. And I'll go over and read more in depth in a little while if I have time. But if you remember, in Numbers chapter 11, God sent a literal rain of quails to the children of Israel. They said it was 3 cubits deep. And for those that are with Numbers, that's 3 times 18. I had that written down and I have since lost it, but I believe that's 54. 54 inches. All the way around the camp. It said that the children of Israel stayed up and gathered the entire day that the Lord sent that rain of quails. All that night and all the next day, they were there gathering quails.
That's right.
There was no famine for food there. They had quails. They had meat to eat. But listen to what it says here. And He gave them their request. But sent leanness into their souls. Physically, they had plenty of food. But spiritually, they were lean. Physically, we are well fed. As I said, we do not have a problem going and finding food for our physical need. We don't have a problem. We can go. We actually are very blessed in this country. We can go to a tap and we can turn on a tap and have drinking water. Mm-hmm. There are places in our world that's not possible. But what about the Word and the water of life? What causes leanness of soul? And I actually did not have a time to get into this over at Glade Creek, but I'm going to take time to get there this week. Or this service, rather. In Isaiah chapter number 59. This is just one example of what causes leanness of soul. But one thing, I've been bothered by some things recently, and sometimes people say, well, that's not something that should bother you. Other times they say, we think you've got a point.
Mm-hmm.
But things bother me nonetheless. I have sat back and I have thought about this thing. The same thing about the family devotion Brother Pack brought out. We come into church usually. I say usually because sometimes we're at Bible conferences, revival meetings, special meetings of some sort. But usually 4 hours out of the week.
Yeah.
2 hours on Sunday morning, 1 hour on Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening, depending on how the church service is set up. Usually. Then on Wednesday night or Tuesday night or Thursday night again, depending on how the services are held. And we say, that's enough food for my soul. Let me challenge you with something. Try going a week and eating a meal at 10 o'clock in the morning on Sunday morning, eating another meal at 11 o'clock, then going all the way down to 6 o'clock or 6:30 or whatever time the services would be on Sunday and eat another meal. Let me just go ahead and put this out. Don't be doing it on Sunday. Start that on Monday or Saturday. Don't take time out of your church service to go and eat for the physical body. and then wait till the middle of the week and eat another meal. Don't eat anything until the midweek service time, if you will. And do that week after week, month after month, year after year, and see what happens to your body. There's a need for devotions in the home. But on that same line, Isaiah 59 verse 1 says, "Behold, look and see." Pay attention to this. "The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities, your trespasses against God, your sin have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear." That will bring leanness into your soul.
Amen.
If a person is out of fellowship with God, I'll just put it this way. When a person's out of fellowship with God, because it happens, they don't have an interest for the things of God anymore.
Right.
They don't spend time in the Word of God. They don't spend time around the Word of God, and it brings leanness into their soul. And you know what? Satan uses that leanness.
Amen.
I heard a very good sermon on this back in the spring. A person who is lacking in one area will try to fill that void with something else. If they're lacking in the Word of God and they're spiritually hungering and thirsting, they will try everything they can to fill that with something worldly. The soul's not satisfied. In Revelation chapter number 3, we have a letter to the church of Laodicea. And this is a very good example of what I'm trying to bring out with this spiritual leanness. Because when a person is spiritually lean, you know what they actually think? They have a problem with that pride that was mentioned already. They rear back and they say, "I don't need the Lord. I'm not dependent upon the Lord." Look at what, you know, in my mind, I hear people like that. My mind immediately goes to Nebuchadnezzar, where he said, "Is this not great Babylon which I have built?" Sometimes I feel like even we as God's people look at what we have and say, "Look at what I have amassed. Look at what I have done." And we forget to say, "Look what the Lord's blessed me with." That will bring leanness of soul. Revelation 3 verse 17, it says here, let me go ahead and back up and get this whole letter. Verse 14 says, "And unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." Folks, this is true for every one of us. It's not just written to the church of Laodicea. "I know thy works." God knows our works.
Amen.
He knows our intents. He knows our desires. He knows everything about us. It says, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot."
Everybody's like, "Great, now everybody knows."
Yep. "So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." You know, I mentioned this over at Lake Creek when I preached this. Something that is cold, you can take measures to warm it up. It can be, we use the word revived, refreshed. It can be brought back to being warm. Something that is too hot, which I'm going to go ahead and add this in there, never too hot for the service of God. The fire is never so fervent for God that it needs time to die down. But something that is too hot physically, we can allow to cool down to where we will partake of it. But let me tell you something. There's nothing worse, in my opinion, than having lukewarm food on your plate. Just barely warm enough to eat, but not so cold that you can put it in the microwave and heat it back up, because then you're right back to where you started. Too hot to eat. And you know what? Let me just be honest. There's that complaining. We look at that, we say, "This is too hot, this is too cold." We're not thankful for the fact we have food on the plate. bonus. But it says here, this is what caused Laodicea's lukewarmness, just what I mentioned a minute ago. Because thou sayest, notice so what that says, you say, not I say. God didn't say because I say. He said, you say this. Because thou sayest, I am rich and have need, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. But then I'm thankful for something. God didn't say, because of all this, I'm done with you. Praise God for that.
Amen.
He didn't say, there's no hope for you. He said, I counsel thee. Let me tell you what to do to fix this problem. Let me tell you the remedy for your situation. Aren't we thankful for that?
Amen.
I counsel thee of me, or I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love. Again, this is to all. This is not just to the church of Laodicea. This is to God's people. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. I want to spend just a few minutes here on the other side of this equation, fatness of soul. Isaiah 55. I just about used the wrong reference earlier because I knew I was going to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. I appreciate the entire Word of God, but I appreciate these places where it says, behold, or ho. Pay special attention to this, is what that's saying. It says here in verse 1 of Isaiah 55, ho, everyone that thirsteth. Do we thirst for the Word of God today? It says, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore, now notice this, the question is asked here. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. It's already been quoted in Proverbs 23, and I believe verse 23, buy the truth and sell it not. Let your soul delight itself in fatness. You know, we think about this, and let me go read one more verse and I'll bring this out a little bit more in Psalm 63. This really is a kind of the summation of this whole thing. In Psalm 63, verse number 5. Notice what it says here. The psalmist does not say my body. He says, it starts off with my soul. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Because thou hast, I'm sorry, I skipped verse 6 there. It says, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. The empty vessel in this has been filled. The soul has been filled. It says that this soul shall delight itself, or shall be satisfied rather. How was it filled? By meditation upon the things of God. Reading and studying and meditation should go hand in hand. With what was the soul filled? Listen to this. God's goodness as marrow and fatness. To what extent was this soul filled? To satisfaction. Isn't that a beautiful thing? The soul is filled to satisfaction. The full vessel is now running over. It says, "My mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. The soul overflows with praise." And it says, joyful praise. And I won't take time to turn to these, but Matthew 12 and verse 34 says, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." Luke 6:45 says about the same thing. If our mouth is speaking of worldliness and things of the world, and I know it's easy to talk about things of the world, that's popular. What does that mean, though, for our heart? If all we can think about and all we can talk about and all we know about is things of the world, what's that say about our heart? What is our heart and our soul full of? It's full of the world. Bible says that friendship of the world is enmity with God. Furthermore, it says in Colossians 3, and I'm not going to read the other two because they've already been read here this morning. Colossians 3 and verse number 1 when we get there. I may read the second one because it is important. It says in verse number 1, it says, "If you then be risen with Christ," the word is seek. Diligently seek, I believe we could add in here. Seek with all your heart, we could say. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection, not temporarily, not, you know, when you're in the Lord's house, let's think about these things. The word is set. We think about things that we set. If you set up a house, it's there to stay. If you set your clock until the power goes out, it's there to stay. Until the battery runs dead. Set your affection.
Amen.
Put it. Place it. Rest it, if you will. On things above, not on things on the earth. Fatness of soul. If our affection is toward Christ and the things of God, it will bring us fatness of soul. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. We're dead to the world. The Bible asks the question, how shall we which are dead in sin live any longer therein? We should put away or put off the things of the flesh and put on the works of the Spirit. I've changed my mind on reading the second one because it leads me into my closing here. In Joshua 24, once again this morning. I'm watching this recorder. I see 24 minutes. Joshua 24. Verse number 14 and 15 once again this morning. And I will go a little bit further to bring out the people's answer. It says here, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord." Once again, where is our affection? Is our affection toward God or is it toward the things of this world? It can't be both. Dad used to put it this way. He'd say, it can't be like the suit you put on Sunday morning. You can't go in, put on godliness on the Lord's day, or when you go into the house of God and then come out and say, I'm done with that. I mean, you can, but it doesn't work. You know, if you want to try it, go ahead, but I don't recommend it. But the world uses this as an excuse to talk about decisional regeneration. The regeneration had already taken place here. Brother Pack brought that out very well. He's not saying here, choose whether or not you're going to serve the Lord and be saved. He's saying here, choose whether you're going to serve the true and living God or if you're going to serve idols.
That's right.
Once again, he's saying you can't do both. We try, don't we? Television set's become a good idol, hasn't it? We may not have those statues set up that are false gods, but we sure do have other things. Verse 15 starts off, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve." whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the God of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He was saying here, it doesn't matter to me what you choose. My mind's made up. It doesn't matter which way you go. I'm serving the Lord. And verse 16 says, and the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Oh, that we would say that in America now. God forbid that we should leave serving the true and living God to serve ourselves. That's what it boils down to. Since, not if, not, but since we speak out of the abundance of our heart, our speech, the biblical word here is conversation or way of life, should reflect our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All things for those of us that are born again have become new. We can go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in closing, and we'll read verse 17 to bring that out. It says, therefore, or because of these things, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. You know what that should bring about? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Our attitude towards sin should become new. Our desires should become new. We should have a new hungering and thirsting after righteousness. I had another thought there and it has since slipped my mind, so I guess I will close right there. Should have written it down. I should have grabbed that pencil and written it down real quick. I do appreciate the opportunity to preach. I'll turn it back over to you, Brother Noel.